Okay, the book of Job, part 2, amen. Obviously, I want you to turn to the book of Job, chapter 1. And these first 9 verses are going to tell a lot of the story. And I could synopsize a lot of what happened with Job. I don't have time. I want to make it clear so that everybody understands. There are a lot of teachings. Most of the suffering teaching, most of the misuse of Bible actually comes from this book. This one book has been used to define most of what we've learned as a young person or in former church settings. And most of it has been misused. And I mean this with the most gentle and loving. I can't say it the right way other than to tell you, you know, I grew up in it. I grew up in a denominational church, and my parents, the only understanding they had of God, and a vast majority of that understanding came from this book. And it was misuse, mistreatment, misunderstandings of this book. And those things need to be countered. And we need to make sure that we counter those things and that we unroot them from our lives, because they cause destruction of our seed. And they will contaminate the ground in which our seed is planted. The Word of God is the seed. If I have a misunderstanding of the Word of God from this book, then my seed will be contaminated and I can't receive. And so we need to properly interpret this book. Now, I'm just going to give you a for instance. In this week alone, I'm a student of church and I like to see and look and see, because the Lord called me to Florence. He put me in this town. And I feel an obligation to the people of Florence. I feel a dedication and a commitment and a love for the people God put me in charge of, or put authority over. He gave me a certain level of authority in our city. That's why we're here. And a portion of that's into this church. And I love the people of Florence, the church that God's given me. And when I hear erroneous doctrine or I see things in other churches that could potentially hurt the people of Florence and potentially hurt the people of our church, or people that I have once ministered to, it really affects me. I'm really bothered by that. And I go to God and I pray about it and I seek God about it. And because you're not against church. Nobody's against church. We love church. We love every church. And there isn't a church that we should be against if they're preaching Jesus. If people are getting saved, we should be for that. But I also have a duty and a responsibility as a pastor, and we as a people, to make sure that people are solidly founded, and that the doctrines that they learn and all are according to what we believe is truth. If you sent your child to a school that taught 2 + 2 = 6, you might not send them back there. You wouldn't encourage people to go there. You wouldn't be excited about that school, although it's got school on the side. And there's people in there that are good school people and good school teachers, but they're teaching something that's wrong. So you're not against churches. You're not against the name church. But oftentimes, we want to make sure people get taught correctly. 2 + 2 = 6. 2 + 2 = 4. And so in this case, we need to properly interpret the Bible and let the Bible interpret the Bible. As you know, I founded our teachings knowing that the New Testament is where we live. You and I are New Testament believers. Everything that we do comes from a knowledge and a revelation that didn't exist during the time of Job. I don't have time to go back. You're going to have to go watch the DVD or the CD or the whatever online. But we need to interpret the book correctly. The book of Job teaches many things. But I want to make sure that after last week that we come into understanding that I think the first thing we need to adjust is our thinking about what it does not teach. We need to know what does it not teach. Because we've been taught things that it doesn't teach. It doesn't teach those things. The first thing that we need to understand, an incorrect teaching from the book of Job that we need to debunk, number one, there's several, and I'm going to cover them. Tonight I'm going to cover one. Next week we'll cover a second or a third or a fourth, and then we'll finalize this by putting all this together as to what does it teach. But I want to deal with what it does not teach. It does not teach this. It is incorrect to teach this from the book of Job. God did all of this, meaning everything Job went through, we know that God didn't do it. Now, it doesn't teach God did it. It doesn't teach that God is the one who came up with the idea. It doesn't teach that God allowed it to happen or that God caused it to happen. It doesn't teach that God designed this test and this trial for Job. Let me say this again. so that you understand. Because you, when I say that, you might immediately rebel against that. It might feel like it was a negative to you because you've been taught. And, I mean, you might have to give up on a pet peeve or an old doctrine you had when I get done. But shouldn't we properly divide the word of truth? If I don't give you truth and I don't share truth with you, then don't eat it. If it doesn't fit, don't wear it. If you can't eat it, don't eat it. But I think I've got enough here that I can tell you and disseminate this scripture properly. So it does not teach that God did this. It does not teach that God is the one who came up with the idea of doing it. God didn't allow this. It doesn't teach that God allowed this to happen to Job. It doesn't teach that God designed this trial and this situation for Job's benefit. So what does it do? What are we looking at? We're looking at this. I want you to turn over in your Bibles quickly. You're at Job, but let's look at James chapter 1, verse 13 very quickly. It says, "Let no man say when he is tempted that he's tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted, neither tempts he any man." I have a question for you. If what we've been taught was true, would you not agree that that would be a temptation to doubt God? Wouldn't it have been? I mean, after all, Job was tempted by his friends, and he was tempted by the situation, and that was the real trial of him at the time, was to curse God and die. That he was to defame God or to doubt God, and if God did that, then God was tempting him to doubt him. Would you agree? I know that's hard to believe, and maybe you don't want to go there, but go there with me tonight. That would be God tempting Job. But the Bible clearly says that God doesn't tempt anybody with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. He can't be tempted and he doesn't tempt anybody. The incorrect teaching is this. God is the one who came up with the temptation for Job. God is the one who came up with it because he wanted to purify Job. And that God did it so that he could bless Job. Now how many of you have heard that? Be honest. God did it to purify Job. God did it so that he could bless Job. So all that happened to Job, according to the teachers, is all in his life came as a blessing in disguise. And yet God says he doesn't tempt anyone. So what am I saying here? They're saying, many teachers say, what this teaches to us is that God was the instigator. But that's an incorrect teaching. It's a teaching that has risen out of Job that says God creates, controls, influences all the things that happen in our lives, even the tragedies and terrible things that come up to mold us, to make us better, and to actually, it's a way of God expressing his love to us. Is this what you've heard? Right? I mean, God loves us so much that he beats us up. God loves us so much that he's taken, you know, and destroying our lives. So in Job 1, 6 through 8, where you were, it's now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto him, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the heavens and the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one who fears God and eschews evil?" He doesn't do evil. Now that's a counterpart scripture, because we have that same scripture in the New Testament. It says this: "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Seeking whom he may devour. I was watching one of these churches I was telling you about. And in watching this church that I was telling you about, the minister that was preaching actually said these words: "God and the devil used the same thing." God and the devil use the exact same thing. They use the same tools. And then proceeded to tell us what those tools were. Death, rape, divorce. Now the devil uses death, rape, divorce, mayhem, disaster, jobs, taxes, you know. And then said, God uses the same thing. Now the devil uses them to destroy you, but God uses them to build you. Now that's what was being taught. That is not what the book of Job teaches. And this is the scripture that initiates that teaching. Right here. I'm going to read it to you again so you'll understand. This scripture initiates that teaching because this is what you hear when you read it. Now there was a time in the time of God, the present, that the devil presented themselves before the Lord, and Satan came up also with them. And the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered and said to the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Now what we're hearing here is, hey, look at Job. That's what we've been taught, right? You've been taught, God said, I got a guy named Job over here. He served me, he loves me, and he's serving me. And have you attacked him yet? Have you checked him out? As if God points to Job, right? Isn't that what you've been taught? God points to Job and says, you can't get him. Isn't that what we've been taught? That is wrong. That's not what this says at all. Here's what it says. Have you considered my servant Job? People teach that God brought this up to Satan, that God initiated this, that God brought it up. Teaching has led people to believe that God was asking Satan to examine Job or that God was bragging on Job. And that is not what this says at all. It actually says this. The original Hebrew says, hast thou set thy heart on my servant Job? Okay. Maybe you haven't figured this out yet. God was not pointing to Job. God was pointing out what Satan had already done. The devil goes around like a roaring lion. God was not asking Satan to tempt Job. God was saying, you saw Job, and you're watching him, and you're focusing on him. Why are you focusing on Job? Isn't that a big difference? That is amazing how impactful a one small statement, one word, have you considered, that word considered, which means, why are you evaluating? Why have you set your heart on Job? See, we've been taught God initiated it. Go get him, Job. But God was asking, why are you? And we know why, because he was a good man. He was an honor man. He loved God. How many know when you love God, the devil looks for you? He goeth about like a roaring lion. You know he's not trying to destroy the people that don't love God. He's already got them. They're already on their way to hell. He doesn't have to try to get them to deny God. He doesn't have to get them to try and turn from God. Come on. And so in this case, he's saying this was the case. So Satan had set his heart on Job. Satan had already focused his heart on Job. And God was saying, I see that you've set your heart on Job. God only was exposing what Satan was after. This scripture says to us that God was exposing what Satan was already after. He was seeking whom he may devour. God is not the initiator, designer, nor does he approve of the things the devil did. Let me say it again so you understand. God did not initiate, does not initiate. God is not the designer, will not design, and he does not approve, will never approve of what the devil does to hurt, harm, or destroy the people of God. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came. God didn't do any of this. God didn't cause any of this. He was not tempting or testing Job. God was not the instigator of this. God does not approve of the things that bring, God does not approve of these things to bring good out of tragedies in our lives. Had there not been a devil who had focused on Job, none of this would have ever happened. God would not have done any of these things to Job. According to scriptures, God would never have done any of these things to Job. So who was it that designed it? The devil did. You see, the devil was sitting there looking at this man. Now, I want you to think in your mind, because what we don't understand is, and I think what's missing here is do you know there was no scripture for Job to read? He didn't have chapter 1 and 2. He didn't know that the devil and God were having a conversation. He's just a guy living on the planet, going through stuff. He hasn't a New Testament to read. He has no revelation. We have the whole story. We can look at it and see every detail of the story. Job had none of it. He was just going through it. Now, at this time, it's safe to say, when Satan came to God and had a discussion with God, I believe with all of my heart, neither Satan nor God, nor man knew the authority they had on the earth. I don't think they knew. Because Satan came to him and said, now this is the interesting thing. If you looked at that, going back to Job, where we were, and I'll get there, but I better wait. I'll just wait because I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm so excited about what I'm about to teach y'all. Y'all going to be blown. You might go boom. It's evident. It's evident because of how God treated Job to begin with. Look at what it says in Job 1. It says verses 8 through 11, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him, that's perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made him a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Hast thou not blessed the work of his hands and his substance and is increased in his hands? But take your hand from him and look what will happen. So we're shown here that God had blessed this man and had mercy on him and had piled on him and filled his life with good things, and he was flooded with blessing. That was God. That was the God part. And Satan was saying, I want to go after. Do you realize after this, when this scripture, at the next scripture, God says, you have all that's in his hand, all of that is in your hands. God didn't say, I'm going to give it to your hands. God didn't say, I'm going to put it in your hands. God didn't say, I give you permission. He said, all that is his. Can somebody read that, the next verse, verse 12? Read that out loud, real loud.
And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that thine hand is in thy power. Only upon him put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord.
And that's it. Now look, did you see anywhere when he just read that it said, God said, I'll give it to your hand? He said, all that's in him, all that he has is already in your hand. Satan didn't know it. The reason he had not attacked him to this point, he wanted to. But he did not know he had the authority to do it. He was the God of the world. He was the God of the world that Job lived in. Not only did he not know, but Job did not know he had authority to talk against it. He had no idea. I mean, they're sitting in this condition. And so we've been taught all this stuff that God put it on them. God did this. God was building them. God was growing them up. God used all this to make them better. And none of that is in this passage. None of it. God didn't direct Satan to Job. God was already looking at Job. Mad. I got to get him. He'll turn on God. Why? And I'll get to that. Let's look at the next verse. Of course. We wouldn't take Satan's word on anything in this chapter, but chapter 1 validates it. So, because the devil's a liar anyway, but he quotes all this from chapter 1, which is, we found out last week, authoritative scripture. So chapter 1 says God blessed him and anointed him and helped Job, and that God had so blessed Job, all that God had done for him. So it shows us that God's will towards Job was blessing. I mean, chapter 1 and 2 shows us God's will toward Job to bless him and help him. God had kept him and covered him. That's what God does for us. But Job didn't know how to keep that covering. Job didn't know how to speak over that covering. Job didn't know how to protect himself with his words. We know there's several instances where he talked about what might come upon him and the fear that he had and all those kinds of things because he didn't understand his authority. If Satan had, it was Satan that destroyed or desired to destroy Job. It was Satan that planned for the purpose of getting Job to deny God. And this is extremely important. If this were different, then it makes Satan's God. If what I'm telling you is different, then Satan is God's messenger. And how many of you know Satan is not God's messenger? Look at somebody and say, that ain't right. God wasn't using the devil. That's not God's whipping boy. their enemies. He's going to throw them in the lake of fire. I mean, no. God did not design this to be a blessing to Job. No. This was a curse and an affliction. This was a persecution. Job was a godly man hated by Satan. And what does the devil do? Here's what it says. And these are they, Mark chapter 4. That when the seed was thrown by the wayside where the word was sown, but when they heard it, Satan came immediately to take away the word that was sown in the heart. So the constant effort of the devil, is to cause an individual to lose and contaminate the word, to deny God, to deny God's benefit, to deny God's activity. Persecution and affliction came to destroy the word and destroy the fruit. Satan wanted to destroy the word of God and the work of God in Job. Satan wanted to destroy Job's influence. Had Job denied God and turned on God, what would that have done? Satan wanted to destroy Job and destroy his witness. And many people today have taken the book of Job to say that God allows and does these things to you because God really loves you. And it may be really an expression of God's love for God to kill your 10 children, take away your goods, your camel, your sheep, your family. God really wants to just bless you like he did Job. I wrote that as obnoxiously as I possibly could so that you would understand how ridiculous a thought that would be, that the loving God who absolutely does love us would use Satan as a tool of destruction in your life just to show you how much. That's not possible. Not possible. It's absolutely impossible. No, Satan was the author of all the problems in Job. All that happened to Job was the next week. I'm going to cover a little bit more because I'm abbreviated today. So we know from this, if you are clear and you understand this, Job was not given over to the devil. The devil was the god of the world. He had this planet. Job lived on a planet he had. Everything that happened to Job came from the devil. God did not initiate it. God did not desire it. God did not promote it. God did not instigate it. God did not plan it. And nothing in the book of Job tells me that. Nothing tells me that. Nothing. There isn't a scripture in there. Now, I want to just step into next week just a minute, and I'm excited about this because this may help you. Number two that we're going to say is that many teach that all that happened to Job was a result of sin. Now, we know sin is, there's a principle in the Word of God that says sin opens the door to the devil. And in some cases, that's true, but it's not always true. Just because you have something in your life does not mean you sinned. As a matter of fact, we're going to find out that Job had not sinned at all. Job had done nothing wrong. So let me wet your whistle for next week. There is no doctrines for devils in the Old Testament. There are only 12 references in the entire Old Testament. 12. Now think about this. There are only 12 references in the Old Testament referring to the devil. 8 of them are in the book of Job. Now that should be somewhat mind-blowing to you. In other words, all this running around telling everybody that God and the devil work together, there was no knowledge. Job was oblivious. He did not know. Now, why does that matter that he didn't know? Because if he didn't know who was attacking him, in his conversation, he was trying to figure out who was. Does that make sense to you? So we know that the conversations can't be credible because the Lord rebuked him for his conversations, but you had a totally clueless man with totally clueless friends who didn't know what the devil was. They weren't running around talking about demon theology. They had no idea. And so the only knowledge they had, the only information they had was, who's doing this? Maybe it's God. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. God said, that's not right. You were wrong when you said that. But he didn't know who was taken. He had no idea who was taken away. Again, no authority. There was no covenant. There was no relationship. There was nothing in place that he knew of other than God's mercy. God had such mercy on him and such grace on him and such blessing on him that all through the earth he had been blessed and the devil had not attacked him. But the devil was looking. And a man who had no clue was standing there when it came and it happened. He's like, who is this? And we've taught people erroneously that it was God that did it. Does this make sense to anybody? Can you see how important that really is? As a matter of fact, even the references, I could do some Hebrew study for a Greek study, even the references of the devil in the Old Testament were not in a first person noun name. It was not the name of the devil. It only referred to the adversary. They didn't even know there was a devil. They only knew there was somebody fighting them. They just didn't know who it was. Now that ought to blow your mind. Right? I don't know if it blows your mind, but when I thought about that and I studied that out and realized that there were almost no references to the devil as a noun, and that the only references there were to the devil were adversary, and that it referred to his activity, not who he was. We're being told that God's doing all this stuff because these people were clueless. They didn't know. But God has revealed it to us. We know that Jesus came to overcome all the works of the devil. Now, not just adversary, but devil. Somebody say amen. They didn't have Job 1 and 2 to read. Neither the devil nor Job knew their authority. So it says this in verses 1 through Job 1:12, and I said this to you earlier. And Jehovah said unto the adversary, lo, all that he hath. Not all that I have. You reading it? Are you reading it with me? Can you see it? Can you actually see it? Do you see that? Are you blown away yet? Is your mind fried? He didn't say all that I have is yours at your disposal. Take what I have and destroy him with it, which is what we've been taught, isn't it? He said all that he hath is in your hand. He simply told the truth. God can't lie. God cannot lie. So all that he has is already in your hand. He just, at that moment, the devil realized he had come to find out if he could attack Job. And he realized God would not stop him. Not that God would allow him. How many of you know God doesn't stop him now? Nobody shouted on that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. God does not stop the devil from attack. You can't pray and ask God to keep the devil off of you. You can't. If you did that, you'd have to pray to die. I mean, you'd have to be dead for the devil not to distract you or destroy you or come after you, because the thief's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. Can you see what I'm saying to you? How amazing is this understanding that the devil's not going to be stopped? That God would not stop the devil because that would make God unjust. It would make him a liar. He had given the authority to man, and man had given over the authority to the devil, and God could not stop the devil. But I will say this, through Jesus, you can. You can. You have authority. You have the power. You have the ability. Woo! Glory to God. He gave you the power. That's why you don't have to. Once Job found out his authority, I'm about to tell the whole story, but we got 2 weeks left. I can't tell y'all. But once Job found out, the Bible says when he prayed for strength, I can't go there because if I tell y'all, what did he do when he prayed for his friends? The Bible says God turned the captivity of Job because his words created the boundary necessary to stop the devil. His former words had opened the door for the devil. His new words had created a boundary and put a stop to it. Glory to God. I ain't got to be sick no more. I ain't got to be poor no more. I don't have to be in bondage no more. Glory to God. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Man, that is just such good stuff, isn't it? We don't have to listen to that anymore. I feel so bad. And it really, I wish every Christian could hear what I'm preaching. I wish everyone knew what I'm teaching to you today. Because you are not going through a Job experience. You're not going through something that God is allowing to happen to you. You just have to come to the knowledge of who you are in Christ. When you realize that you've been seated in heavenly places by Christ, he's raised up together with him, that when he died, you went with him, and when he came up, you came up with him, and that he was the substitute for everything and every attack of the devil and every work of the devil. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! And you can just stand up and take your place and say, you know what? You may be the God of this world, but I know the God that's the God of you. And I know the God that's a God over this thing. And I can speak over it, talk to it, talk with God, speak God's word, and create God's will. Hallelujah. God's will through God's word. Glory to God. I told you I was going to blow y'all's mind. I told you, because you've been taught all that stuff, and you've been wondering, what am I going through? Am I going through this because God's doing it? It's never God. God is never your problem. He's always your answer. God is never the mess up. God's always the fix up. God's never the put down. He's always the build up. God's never the hurt. He's always the help. Somebody ought to say amen. If God be for me, then it doesn't matter who's against me. Supposed to be a teaching, and we're all shouting. What's wrong with y'all? So we know, number one's been debunked. God did not initiate this. God did not put this to the test. God was not building Job. God was not so in love with Job that he destroyed him. No, the devil did all that. And he had the authority to do it. Amen. And we're going to put a stop to it. Next week, we're going to find out it wasn't because he was a sinner either. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Love you. Hope you're getting something out of this. Amen. Visit a little bit. Spend some time with each other. That'd be great.